Welcome to Training on Demand at Friendship Grace Brethren Church, where our motto is learning and living God's Word. Here, we are dedicated to empowering believers and fostering a deeper understanding of the Bible. Our on-demand training sessions offer a flexible and comprehensive approach to spiritual growth, tailored to fit your schedule and needs. Join us on this enriching journey to strengthen your faith and live out God's teachings in your everyday life. Whether you're exploring the scriptures for the first time or seeking to deepen your knowledge, our resources are designed to inspire and guide you. Let's discover the transformative power of God's Word together.
The title of my message this morning is The Scandal of the Manger. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all that were to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, to be registered, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. This morning we're going to focus on the side of Christmas that we don't often think of, the mess. We most often see beautiful, rustic, clean manger scenes. I mean, we've got one right over there, right? But what's not in that picture is the smell. The ox and donkey and cattle drool. The excrement on the floor. The push of the animals to see what's going on and to get the food out of the manger. Jesus was born to a young woman, not yet married. Mary and her fiancé Joseph had been summoned to Joseph's family ancestral home in Bethlehem to be taxed. Israel was in a state of unrest as an occupied people, oppressed by a pagan empire. The people were poor. They were often hungry, often abused by that occupying force. The people were being forced to travel to their ancestral family homes to pay another tax to their oppressor. Historically, a Roman census involved the collection of taxes and information for the conscription of men to military service. The announcement of the census was often met with revolt and resistance. We read in the book of Acts, "After him, Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of the census and drew away some of the people after him, and he also perished, and all who followed him were scattered." Josephus talks about this event. Josephus tells us that there was a revolt, that not only did many people get drawn away, many people were killed by the Romans because they revolted at having to pay yet another tax to the Romans, and yet having to register their young sons to go and fight for a country they didn't believe in. In this quote here from Acts, Peter's responding to the Sanhedrin's questioning of the apostles. And he was saying, look, people rejected what was going on around us. Life in Israel was hard. Living conditions in Bethlehem were not great. A typical home in Bethlehem was built on two or maybe even more levels and above the ground, and perhaps several levels below the ground. We're beginning to see a better picture of what Bethlehem was like through some archaeological discoveries that have been going on. The hills are mostly soft limestone with many caves natural and man-made. These caves would serve as rooms onto which additions were added to build out the home. So you take a cave or a cave structure and add a front to it, so the front would be part of the house and the caves would be part of the house. The caves often held the animals. Typical home in Israel at the time had a large center gathering area where the animals would stay at night. And then above that or around that would be other rooms. Above that would be places where you would sleep and where you would eat. The walls of the living area near or in the cave would be rough, damp, dirty, eventually covered with soot because of the candles and the fires and the oil lamps. If you today go to Bethlehem, into the Church of the Nativity, the walls are covered by drapings to keep the soot from the constantly blowing, burning candles and lamps from affecting the original walls. That was a real problem in the home in Israel at the time. There was no fresh air. They didn't have windows on every side of the house so that air could flow through. If the front of your house was backed up to caves, you had no flow of air. With the stable being part of your house, you can imagine what it was like. It was common for these cave stable homes to have areas where dung would be gathered for later use in the field. Evacuations of many of these homes show that there was another collection point, a round circular cistern or basin. Floors of the stable area were sloped toward this. Little troughs to catch the urine. The urine would be collected in a pot so they could have ammonia for fertilization of their gardens and plants. So you've got a room where you're collecting dung. You've got a pot where you're collecting urine. No airflow. That's the world Jesus was born into. Him. You can imagine what inside the home was like with candles and lamps and cooking fires, no cross ventilation, ammonia gathering in a cistern, a room full of dung. You can imagine what it was like. How many of you are ready to go and live in that situation? And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. The word inn is not the Bethlehem Hilton. It's not even the Motel 6. It's the Greek word katalumete, which is literally guest room. This is not the hotel. There was no room at the family hacienda for them. Most homes had a guest area that visitors or other family would stay the night in. But since everyone had returned to their ancestral homes, it was already occupied when Mary and Joseph got there. Think about the scene like this. Names and identities have been masked to protect the innocent. Joseph leads them to the home of cousin Samuel in Bethlehem. He still lives there. Knocks on the door. Finds out that the guest room is full up. No, you don't understand. She's about to give birth. We got to have a place. It's full up. All I have for you is a manger, is a stable. This is a photograph of some expeditions in Beit Lahai in Bethlehem area. Those little round things or oval things, there are mangers. They're feeding troughs. There are places where food was stored and where the animals could get some of the food. Perhaps it looks a little bit like this. Mary's in labor. The baby's coming. The need to do something. Joseph tells cousin Joseph, I got to have something. He tells cousin Samuel, I got to have a place. All I got for you is down there in this cave at the back of the house. Samuel suggests they go down to the stable cave, the dirty, stinky stable cave. Those alcoves are mangers or food storage bins. There's a cistern for collecting of urine. Can you imagine the smell? Then there's an alcove where six or eight donkeys or oxen could be stored. You see again the collection pits there in the floor. The entrance would be something like that. Down into the caves, the house, front of the house built onto the front. These are actual excavations dated to the first century BC. So just before Jesus was born, the time of Jesus. Entrance to the stable would be through the center part of the house and down the steps into the cave. There's no evidence that this is Jesus' house or that this is Samuel's house. There's no evidence of that. This is just representative of what it was like. It's nothing like that. That's a problem for us. Our mental image of Jesus' birth narrative is mostly fantasy and not reality. As I was reading and studying the birth narratives of Jesus, the question that kept pounding me was, why do we have such a sanitized version of Jesus' birth? Why have we made it so clean? What danger comes from that beautiful, sanitized image? The reality is that the birth of Jesus was not at all what the Christmas cards reflect. It was dirty, stinky, it was loud, it was chaotic. Everybody in Joseph's family came from the Levant to Bethlehem, and they were crowded in the house because there was no Bethlehem Hilton or Motel 6. They had no place. You camp in the streets or you camp at the house. So the cave stable was full. The house was full. It's noisy. A lot of people coming and going. There's always somebody cooking something. You got to take care of the animals still. So the animals were coming in and out. You can imagine how chaotic and noisy and stinky it was. What damage does a sanitized image of Jesus' birth bring with it? One thought is that Satan loves the sanitized image because it suggests that God only enters places that are already prepared, that are already clean, that are already pretty. I would agree that that very idea has been elevated into the gospel message for many. If you're a kid of the 60s and the 70s like I am, surely you remember how the church, by and large, treated long-haired hippie freaks. And I use that word with all love and respect. You got to get your hair cut. Girls, you got to have longer dresses. Boys, you can't have hair bluer than you. I mean, we went to, Chuck, did we go to colleges that made that? I mean, we had to do that. That was a requirement before you could be saved. You had to get off of drugs. You had to be clean to be acceptable to Jesus. That ain't making you acceptable. But that's the message that's the message this sends. You can't come to Jesus in the dirt and the filth of your life because he came in the pristine stable. Cut your hair, put on clean clothes, get off of drugs, come to Jesus. That was the message of the Jesus movement. How much damage did that philosophy do to the cause of Christ? But Satan loves it because many people didn't have the ability to clean up their lives without the power of the Holy Spirit. You can't get off of drugs easily without the power of God working in your life. Without the Holy Spirit, you can't come to know Jesus. The historic reality of the world of Jesus' birth was that it was a dirty, nasty location. In the middle of a dirty, nasty time for the people of Israel. It was into that world that God's timing was just right for Jesus to be born. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. At the fullness of time, when it was just perfect for him to come into a nation occupied by a pagan empire, to be born into a stinky, dirty, nasty cave. There's another danger with the sanitized picture of Jesus' birth, the Christmas card view of Jesus' birth. The manger sits in an isolated stable, removed from the world. No, there's no room for you here. Go over here to the barn. Picture we have right over there. Go over to the barn. It's isolated. That's where you can give birth. No, that's not the reality of the world that Jesus was born into. He was born into the middle of a large family who had gathered at cousin Samuel's house in Bethlehem. Again, the names are fictitious. Relatives from around Israel and even the entire Levant had gathered because of the edict of Rome, forced them to gather in Bethlehem. So you have the entire family on top of each other. Quite often, Jesus is portrayed as a social hermit who traveled around as a refugee, born in a barn, isolated from those around him. But in reality, Jesus was born into a large family, into the heart of the community that he came to save. He was not a refugee or a social hermit. He stepped into his creation in the middle of a large family, a member of a tribe, a member of a nation of people. Don't isolate Jesus from his people. We sanitize the picture of Jesus' birth. We miss his place in the world at birth. In Israel at the time he was born, the manger was a feeding trough. It was rarely wood. Wood was a luxury in Israel at the time. Wood furniture was a sign of wealth. There weren't many trees in Judea. If you had wood, it wouldn't be in the stable where your animals would gnaw on it. That just wouldn't happen. This is what a manger was often like. I took this picture in 1989 in Jericho. That's a manger. If you ever have seen cows and horses or donkeys eat, it's not clean like that. It's more like that. See the slobber on there? You see the excrement on the floor? That's what it was like. That's a manger like Jesus would have been laid in. Many have looked at the manger that Mary laid Jesus into and see this pretty isolated thing. But in reality, Jesus was in a manger like that. The slobber of the animals, the dirt and the filth, the poop on the floor. This is the picture we should see about Jesus' birth. That's the Creator Sustainer sacrificing his place in the world for us. The Roman Emperor Caesar Augustus was not laid in a crib like that. He was viewed as a god, and he would never sit in that filth or the stench of the stable. But that's the point, isn't it? Augustus lived in a polished marble palace, set off from the people, isolated. You couldn't get to him. Jesus lived in the glory of heaven, greater than any earthly palace, and was willing to give that up to end up in a manger like that. in the middle of a dirty, stinky stable. He did so that so he could grow up to hang on the worst form of punishment ever devised by humanity, the cross. He traded his comfort and glory for the filth of the world, for you and me. There's another danger with a pretty Christmas. A pretty Christmas gives us a pretty God. The world often sees God as someone who never gets his hands dirty, never is inconvenienced. He remains afar off and aloof. That's not what Christ did. That's not what Christmas is. Jesus came to the earth to experience life as we do. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who is in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Jesus was born into a stinky, filthy world to give the experience that we have had, but without sin. Why? To be with us. Not to overpower us, but to be with us. Please don't miss this. The Creator, Sustainer could easily have made us believe from heaven. He could have just made it so that we all believe. That's not what he did. After all, is that really belief? Is that really trust? If you're forced to, if you're programmed to, we have an epidemic going on right now, some would even call it a pandemic, of kids falling in love with their AI. Does that AI love you? It tells kids to kill themselves and they do it all the time. Does that AI love you? No, it can't. It's just responding how it was trained to respond. I know you love your dogs. Do your dogs really love you? Pavlov would say no. He says they know when to get fed and when not. They know who does it, and they're going to be loyal to who does it. Is that true love? Jesus came to be one of us. We're in the caves of Bethlehem, not the marble palaces of Rome. Why? To be like us. Jesus came into the dirty, stinky caves of Bethlehem to be near us. We don't need to be afraid of the stinky mess of our lives. Jesus is not repulsed by your smell or by the filth around you. He proved that by his birth. He's not going to run from you. He grew up in a filthy mess of the Roman Empire. In fact, he calls you to him. But he doesn't tell you to get clean and get wealthy before coming to him. He says, come as you are. He knows your stink. He knows your filth. He lived in it. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of his people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Jesus took on the filth of the world so that he ultimately could overcome death for all of us. He experienced the world as we do so he could save us from this world because he loves us. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, in heaven, eternity, in the most glorious place ever, though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. He went into that dirty, stinky Bethlehem cave manger so you could be saved. Not in this world for a short period of time, but for eternity is our destination. Jesus came into the filth of the caves of the world so that we could actually become rich for eternity. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Because he came to that dirty, stinky, filthy manger in the caves of Bethlehem, you have the opportunity to have eternal life, to find grace, that we may receive mercy. We now have access to a much better than a marble palace of the emperor. We have direct access to the throne of grace. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Born into the filth of this world to be the Messiah. A child born to die on the Roman cross. He still remains the Messiah, our Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, our Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This Christmas, remember the beautiful babe in the manger was actually in a stone, drooly, filthy, stinky manger in a cave of a family that represents all of us. Not the marble palaces of power. He was born into the filth for the cross. The scandal of the manger became the scandal of the cross. The scandal of the cross became the victory of resurrection and eternity. Turns into that. Father, thank you. Thank you that Jesus was willing to go to the stinky, nasty, dirty manger of the caves of Bethlehem. To grow up, not to rule the world, but to save the world, to die on a cross, to pay the penalty of our sins, to be propitiation for us, so that we ultimately can stand before you in the throne room to worship you for eternity. Born in a manger, filthy and stinky, to save us from our sins. We love you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for Teaching on Demand from Friendship Grace Brethren Church. We pray that today's message has aided you in learning and living God's Word. We warmly invite you to join us for worship at Friendship Grace Brethren Church, located at 6865 Eagle Street, Fort Myers, Florida. Come and experience the fellowship, worship, and teaching that make our community special. We look forward to seeing you there.